sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Hi, welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, a.k.a. Cookie, and I am also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic.
What up?
We record and stream live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us as this is an interactive show. We do read the chat as we have Lady TC, we got Carletta on the chat here. Thank you for joining us. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review as we would love to read it on the show, good or bad. Speaking of reviews, we actually got our first review. Yay!
Finally! Give us more! We'll read this one because it's the first one.
The very first one, and it's a 5-star review. Thank you so much to O. Welta. He's actually in our Twitch chat right now. Omega Welta, thank you so much. It says, lots of potential here. It's nice to get a different perspective of the game industry, which is usually sausage fest.
Yep. We're here to get that out of here.
We feel that. Yes, Omega Welta, you are the very first review. We thank you so much. And we really appreciate it. So be like Omega Welta and leave us a review so you can be read on the show. So of course we're going to start off with, as usual, with the gaming news. Let's start off with this one. The Minecraft movie is going to come in 2022. It was actually supposed to be, slated to release next month. But unfortunately it was got delayed. The description of the movie says it will follow the adventures of a teenage girl and her pals who must save the overworld from the destructive scourge of the Ender Dragon.
What happened? Did they not do anything? And then it was like a month. Like, oh gosh, guys, we're supposed to have this movie done in a month. like a high school senior trying to complete their senior project. Oh man, I need an extension now.
I have no idea. But I did was reading it. Minecraft was like saying, we're first game developers, not movie people. So I'll take that excuse because they are just game developers. I just don't know about a Minecraft movie.
Absolutely not. I mean, it would have to be something akin to, like, the Lego movie, where it's kind of making fun of itself, but I don't know. But, like, you can't really do that. You know, I think so many other, like, the Emoji movie tried to take off the success of the Lego movie, and I think this is what maybe this is trying to. I don't know, but, like, I don't know. I'm not going to watch it, really, unless it's that good.
I don't think it. Unless it is like a Lego movie. We'll see. Because Lego movies are actually pretty funny.
Yes, those are funny. I don't know. I'm pretty sure by March 4th, 2022, I'm going to go, whoa, Minecraft!
That's true. We all know about the terrible fire at the Notre Dame in Paris. Fortunately, video games may be able to save the day. Ubisoft, known for their Assassin's Creed series, has donated 500,000 euros to the restoration. Their game Assassin's Creed Unity was set in France, and their detailed representation of the Notre Dame may be used to help the restoration process, which is awesome. Thank you, video games.
Also, if you really liked the game Unity or thought you missed out on it, which, spoiler alert, you didn't miss much, it's also free right now to download.
That's right. Just go on to Ubisoft.com and you'll find the link for Assassin's Creed Unity. I think you have to download their launcher, Uplay. So that's another launcher to add to your PC.
Yeah! Well, we all love those launchers. But yeah, no, this is actually really cool because one thing, say what you will with the Assassin's Creed series, they're very hit or miss. Some are awesome, yeah. Some are But one thing that you have to respect that they do is their research, and especially their landscape of their setting. You know, they are very meticulous. To the point, there's a side story I had read. It was some Tumblr story of some kid that was saying how his group of his high school group went to Rome for, you know, a trip, like a senior high school trip. Mm-hmm. And they actually kind of got lost. And this one kid said, wait, I know where we're at. And he was able to lead them through just some alleys and then get to where they needed to be. It's because he played a lot of Assassin's Creed. it was exactly where they, you know, how to get to point A to point B. So they do their research meticulously.
Yeah, that's awesome. I found my way because of Assassin's Creed.
Right? Like, wow. Thanks, video games.
It's been a minute since we've heard about GameWorks, but GameWorks is still around. GameWorks has announced that they are hosting a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Tournament with a prize pool of $25,000. Included in that pot, however, is the chance to win some Alienware hardware. So that's awesome.
Yeah, Alienware is actually like sponsoring them, which is, I think, all where they're getting all their money from.
That's good, because I think one of the finals is actually going to be here in Las Vegas, so I should probably check that out when they do come over here.
Yeah, go and say hi and be like, you're alive?
I know, right? Hi, GameWorks. I was kind of mad because the GameWorks used to be right on the strip in Las Vegas, but they took it down, and I think it's like a Marshall's clothing store downstairs now, and then GameWorks is more off the strip, and I'm like, that's kind of a bummer because a lot of families do come to the strip, and where are the kids going to play?
Right, exactly. Sadness.
She is a nonprofit organization that recognizes women in sports from tennis to hockey. Lazarus Esports is teaming up with She Is for esports awareness. Lazarus Esports also has a female CSGO team and a League of Legends team. And I think these are... Lazarus is based in Canada, so... that's good that they're actually being recognized over there where She Is.
Yeah, that's super awesome. It also just means that it's recognizing esports as part of a sport, because it looks like they just used to do, you know, sports, you know, physical sports, but that's awesome. Glad they're branching out.
Definitely. This next news is a big no-no. Two females were signing up for an esports FIFA tournament hosted by Colorado State University. While they were signing up, they got an error on their screen. This league is restricted to a different gender. Please change the league. And it was just written off as a technology glitch. So.
How? What? Okay, when you... when the guys put the, like... like, the website together, did they put the tournaments by gender? Like, what?
That is so weird.
The only thing I can think of is that, and the only thing that, like, and this is still really weird, but the only thing I can think of, and I hope this is it, is that this kind of website or whatever is used for, like, physical sports, which probably does have designations based on gender.
And okay, so that makes sense.
Pick one or something, which... horrible way to do your website, but that's the only thing I can think of. But yikes!
Yeah.
Yikes, guys.
Yeah, so these two females, I guess they had to call the school and say, hey, what the heck is going on? I want to play FIFA. So I guess they were the only two females, and they originally told them, well, we only have one spot left. So I think they just like kind of worked it out, and they had to sign them up manually while they had to, you know, go back to that computer program and say, hey, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a glitch so much as just that's, I don't think it was necessarily malicious, but that's just, they weren't thinking, which is kind of a problem.
Yeah. Good job, Colorado. We love you. two things that I love, Tetris and Sanrio, will be teaming up to a multi-year partnership to collaborate on games and merchandise. On June 3rd, a new online game will launch with Tetris and Sanrio characters. Why these two? Hello Kitty is celebrating her 45th year anniversary, and Tetris is at 35 years.
Yay!
I'm excited. Aww. Of course.
Of course. It's fun. I mean, Hello Kitty. Sorry. Now I'm feeling back to my younger years. But my gosh, 45 years, by the way, that makes me...
I didn't realize how it's been around for so long.
Also, I didn't know that Hello Kitty was older than Tetris.
Tetris, I know, right?
What? Jeez.
Oh, well. Two big brands that I both love. I'm down for it.
Yes, absolutely. Do it.
This weekend, April 20th and April 21st, SLT's Esports Women's Cyber Games will take place in Sri Lanka at the Colombo City Center. So SLT is basically a fiber fiber optic company in Sri Lanka, and they do invest in their own esports team and platform. This is their first year of having an all-women sports event that they actually had, the Miss Universe Sri Lanka of 2018. Or I'm gonna chop up her name. Ornella Guneskir is going to be the women's ambassador for this esports event. Now, the weird thing about this esports event, you have a prize pool of 100,000 rupees, and then you have to compete into 5 games. So it's not like a category. They point you on these 5 games that you play. So the 5 games are Mortal Kombat XL, Call of Duty 4, Mario Kart, and then these two games, E-Racer, not a racer racer, like E-Racer, like a car game racer with PC and pedals and a steering wheel, and Subway Surfers, which is a mobile game that's kind of like Temple Run.
Okay.
So these women have to compete in these 5 games. Whoever, you know, has the most points in all 5 of the games gets the top prize, which is weird to me. Like, that's, you have to compete
very different.
Yeah, you have to compete to a racing game. Well, 2 racing games, a mobile game, a first-person shooter, and a fighting game.
I mean, we'll definitely probably find the best all-time female gamer from this. Yikes.
Exactly. Versus a simple category of, you know, first-person shooter or just fighting game. But so I thought this was just super interesting. Like, you're trying to find exactly what you said, like, the all-time best girl gamer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's so taking out the female-only component of it, this as like a tournament kind of thing, it's kind of cool in a way, because it's like, I was going to say the Olympics, but it's not the Olympics, because when you compete in the Olympics, you compete in one thing.
Exactly.
But just, you know, the idea of multiple, you know, multiple rounds of different things, that's still a really cool idea, and I don't know how often we really see that, since we usually prize such dedication to one game only kind of thing. So that by itself is fine. I will say it's interesting that they're doing something super new and unique when it comes to esports tournaments, and also making it women only. I wish I knew more about the women's ambassador and Miss she was also Miss Universe, as far as like her place in all this. I'm wondering if she's the one who had the idea for it, or did they say?
Oh no, it doesn't say. It just says, oh, she was Miss or she competed in the Miss Universe tournament in 2018 for Sri Lanka. Like, okay, women power to you.
Yeah.
What's the conversion rate of rupees to US dollars, says the Pelican in our twitch.tv/checkpointxp chat. That 100,000 rupees is like about $1,400. So
yeah, it's not much.
It's not much. So if the first place prize is half of that, so about $700.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I mean, a conversion with currency, it makes sense for the area. Like, it's not like we Americans are meant to compete in this tournament. But still, yeah. So I think it's still a pretty decent amount as far as within that currency. But yeah, that's what it pretty much averages to in US dollars.
Yeah, exactly what Lloyd said. It's like a gaming triathlon, which is weird. So this new story is in Sri Lanka got me curious, and I started researching, where are the women of esports in here, the United States? Coming up next, we'll talk about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
So after reading about the Sri Lanka esports tournament, it got me thinking, where are the women of esports here in the United States? What makes the U.S. different from the other countries featuring women in esports? So I did a little bit digging. From what I see, there was there was not really any big esports tournament here. Most of the esports tournaments, from what I see, are like in Europe or in Asia. Let's see. CSGO, we all know that there's always a female team at CSGO. There was a recent women's esports tournament at the IME Katowice. They held the Intel Challenge Katowice of eight. Thank you. I can never say that.
No worries.
They had eight female teams competed. God, I'm so bad at pronunciation.
Dignitas, right?
Team Dignitas, yes. Won the event over Counter Logic Gaming. So that's in Europe for CSGO. We all heard of Vayvictus in League of Legends. It's like Vayvictus did their team just to put women together and say, hey, we have a women's team.
God, that made me so mad.
But they lost horribly in the LCL because they were all diamond ranked versus, you know, Grandmaster Challenger players, which is really weird.
You know, they had like 2 weeks to train, you know, nothing.
Yeah, like, what is up with that? It's not just an experiment. Yeah, right. They didn't have a chance. What else? There was PUBG. There was a Zowie Divina PUBG all-female tournament that took place last December in Shanghai. 48 women competed, and Majesty Charlie of Entropy Gaming took the win on that one. Other than that, the only thing that we have in the U.S. is Grigori with Overwatch League. Just why do you think that we don't have anything here in the U.S.?
I think in the U.S. especially, we're very, very sensitive of trying to be perceived as not just sexist, but really any of those things. And so I have and I know gaming has had such a rough history with sexism. So part of me sometimes wonders if this is kind of partially a bit of a leftover of like, well, video games are a boys, you know, thing. They're not for girls. But also, right. I think there, you know, I could see some opposition to a girls only team or even a girls only league here in the United States because of the idea of like, is that being sexist? Because when it's not, esports is not like physical sports. You know, in physical sports, we have that division that's been around for a very long time. And I think there, you know, research has shown that maybe that's not, I refuse to believe that the worst, you know, male player in a sports team is still better than the best female player in a sports team. But still, you know, difference in bodies and whatever
physical,
and strength. Okay.
That's physical.
Physical, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But listen, don't. I just gotta tell you guys, like, don't listen to people that tell you that boys' brains and girls' brains are different. Most scientists will tell you that the difference in any of those compositions is not due to gender as much as it's just due to socialization. And remember, socialization starts very young. I'll try to keep my gender studies there for the moment. The point being is that there's no difference as far as, like, brains when it comes to why female esports players can't play next to male sports esports players. But unfortunately, you know, I think these other countries are giving that focus to it, which is, I think, both a good and a bad thing. I think it's great because it's helping trying to push against that whole, like, women, you know, don't play video games.
Right.
But I'm really worried that then we're going to get comfortable with the idea that we need to have non-mixed teams. And I think that's a bad direction for esports to go into.
So you really don't think that having an all-female tournament or esports event?
So here's the thing is normally when it comes to these kinds of situations, I'm like, well, no, we need to start off with maybe an all-female team to help get the exposure.
Yeah.
And so there's a part of me that feels that way, but there's another part of me that worries that that's what it's going to be a stalemate and be expected. And like the next step of the integration just won't occur. That's my concern. So I don't know what the best way to go about this is. You know, I think being very conscious of your player dynamics, or, you know, player, you know, who you have as your players, I think is the best thing to really do to make sure you have mixed teams. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of problems also with that approach too, you know?
Right.
So it's hard because I don't really know. I don't really have a right answer for this.
I don't think there's a right answer right now. I mean, looking at women in esports right now, there's not many players that we can name. Like in the fighting game community, who can you name that's a female player?
Right.
None that I know of.
And fighting games are also notorious for being very much a boys' club, even more than some other esports are, you know, that it can be a bit of a, I think it's gotten better over the years, but it has been known as being a very, fighting games especially, a very toxic environment for female players. So that's also just hard there.
Yeah. CSGO's, like I said, I mentioned, have been good with their female teams. PUBG, they're still around, or they're still building up, basically. League of Legends, hopefully we'll see more than just what we see with Vayvictus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just horrible. It breaks my heart for Vayvictus.
Yeah, when I first heard about this news, it was before we even got this show off the ground. Yeah. It was one thing I wish we were able to talk about, because it was just a travesty when I first heard about this. I remember originally when we talked about his checkpoint, originally the idea was like, oh, this is interesting. And then I kind of was like, no, this is a problem. Yeah. I am seeing red flags. All over this issue.
Lloyd in the chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says Scarlett is the only StarCraft woman I know that plays at a high level. I think she won one of the first, she was one of the first women winning a StarCraft tournament. So there's StarCraft, but is she still active? I don't think so. Let's see. Fortnite is a big one. So Fortnite kind of bugs me a little bit too, because there's a lot of women who play Fortnite as a streamer. So like Kitty plays, she plays Fortnite, and she plays really good. I've watched her stream a few times. But I know Gen G recently did a $46 million funding, where Will Smith was one of the investors, which is really weird to me. But anyway, I think Gen G also signed in two female Fortnite players, but I don't see them playing. Is that weird?
Oh, gosh. That's so frustrating. Because, yeah, Fortnite really doesn't have an excuse. No. Like, it really doesn't.
It shouldn't. No. It's a huge boom right now. So where are the tournaments? I mean, okay, maybe there is a player for the Fortnite World Cup that we don't know of yet.
Yes, but it's certainly not mixed. It's, you know, it's certainly not. I bet the representation of esports players probably does not match the representation of the player base. And, you know, we could go into, like, maybe there probably aren't a lot of female players that are interested in esports, which is a whole other question, because I think that's something that's, well, a lot of women us are very familiar with, you know, women, why don't you go into these, you know, fields? And it's like, yeah, because you guys get mad at us. Like, you know, I can't help but wonder if a little bit of that, you know, that culture of esports, I don't know where it is for each individual game. I know about fighting games. That's why I know kind of why there's not a lot of female players in fighting tournaments. I don't know how they are in the rest of the places, but I wouldn't be surprised if they can be a little toxic. Or at the very least, there's just not as much. I also can't help but feel like when we think about esports players, you know, if you had a little boy that says he wants to be an esports player, I imagine he's going to get a very different reaction than a little girl who asks it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, I refuse to believe it's the lack of ability, and I don't even think the lack of interest. You know, I don't know if promoting an all female team is the best way to go, because, again, I'm worried that it will just kind of be comfortable with that division. But
same.
Yikes.
Same.
You kind of, you know.
I'm still half and half. Like, I do want those female tournaments, you know, to give a push, say, hey, there are female players, female gamers out there. But you're right. I do kind of want to see a mixed tournament here in the U.S. first before going into, you know, just an all-female thing. Omega Weltall in the chat says there are a few women in the FGC. Ricky Ortiz is damn good in Street Fighter V.
Nice.
Where I haven't heard anywhere.
I know.
I know it's bad. I'm not that into the FGC, but it's like the top. We haven't heard her, you know, being one of the tops, you know? So where are the top female players besides them being a streamer?
Yeah. You're there. I don't know what the right answer is, but certainly an interesting question.
Yeah.
And
it's really weird because we always see the stats. About 1/3 of the esports viewers are female.
Yeah. And it's growing. It's only growing.
It's, yeah.
So
if you're watching, play too. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. We believe in your dreams.
Yeah. I tweeted out this question late last night because I was thinking about this. I'm like, this is just so weird. They have all these tournaments in other countries, but why not here in the US? It's just, I don't know. It kept me up. I was up at 2 a.m. in the morning, like typing this up. I'm like, this is weird. Why isn't there any? Volkai, I want to say, tweeted out to me. He's like, hey, there's been female Hearthstone gamers out there.
Okay,
so Hearthstone. But it's not like, you know, sorry.
It's not Fortnite. Volkai.
It's not Fortnite. It's not PUBG. It's not League of Legends. It's not Overwatch.
And this is not a new problem. Like, any woman you talk to, we know the formula. We don't necessarily know how to fix it, but like we're very familiar with this issue. You know, yep, there's probably interest. Yep, there's probably, you know, ladies out there, but why aren't they pushing into it, or why haven't they been seen more? Well, we kind of know why.
The Pelican in chat says, so are women just spectators then? I don't necessarily think we're just spectators. Yes, we do watch esports. Yes, we're fans. Yes, we're probably girl gamers inside. But I was looking into the Overwatch League. There's so many support behind the scenes that are women, which is versus them being players. So until we can actually see more women players, it's just going to take us a while for here in the U.S.
Yeah, it'll take some time. We'll see. I'll be curious because we have really avoided female leagues for a while. I'll be curious to see if that continues. So,
I know. Game developers, whoever out there, tournament people, pick up something.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should do it ourselves.
Looking for the best and just
making make your Not Your Player 2 main event. You need to have a good sponsor. Anyway, tell us what you think. Should there be women focused esports tournaments or implement mixed tournaments now? Connect with us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So we're going to end this podcast on our last segment here. Last month, we introduced a segment called What Up With Your Girl, where we give the rundown of facts with strong female video game characters. The last time we did Princess Peach because, you know, she is iconic and one of the first. In honor of Final Fantasy X and X-2 Remaster being released on the Nintendo Switch and Xbox this past week, we'll be highlighting Yuna. Sarah, give us some stats on Yuna.
Yep. So Yuna first appeared in Final Fantasy X, and she was only 17 in that game. That's actually kind of old for an anime-esque game, I will say. But still, she is about 5'3", so she's short, and she has heterochromia eyes. The left eye is blue and the right eye is green.
Yes, I think that's one of her most noticeable traits about Yuna.
Yes. In the game, in the game, she is half Albed, a tribe of technologists who use Machina. And she is cousin to Riku, who is also an awesome character. Riku's dad is Cid, the Cid that transcends all Final Fantasy games. And Cid's sister was Yuna's mother. So, yay, that relationship. She leads a summoner life, same as her father Braska, who was also a summoner. And to note, Braska defeated Sin but died in the process, which is kind of her angst in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
She's also the only character, playable character, I believe, that can summon Aeon, so those big summon things. summon things. I don't think they're different in every Final Fantasy game.
I know, they do.
She came back into Final Fantasy X-2 and was age 19. She was known as a Sphere Treasure Hunter. She came back with her cousin Riku and a new friend named Pain. They were known as the YRP group because that kept flashing across the screen.
Yes.
And the group, the Gull Wings.
So Yuna's an interesting character. So when you first meet her, she's just this quiet, you know, like a priestess sort of summoner.
Yeah.
She's, you know, wearing her long dress, boots, and kind of the traditional kimono style wear.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of very kimono looking. Her shoulders are bare
though.
So people wouldn't like that very much, but you know, she's got a really pretty outfit. I always liked her sleeves.
the long sleeves that go out to nowhere and it doesn't connect to anything.
Yes. I love them. They would never work in real life, but they're pretty.
Her most noticeable, her most iconic scene in Final Fantasy X, I would say, was her sending, yes, where she's dancing in the water, sending off the dead from, you know, Sin just, I think, took over. I forgot what tribe it was. But it was such a beautiful scene, made people cry.
Just beautiful dance, water dance. It's just, I don't know. It's very pleasant to watch, even still today.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of her iconic scenes, as I said before. And then, you know, she just goes off and finds herself in Final Fantasy X. Like, what is she really doing? Is her path that she's taking really what she wants to be? Or is it just because her father was the one that helped bring the calm over in, not Sin. What is their world called?
I don't remember.
I'm in the process of playing Final Fantasy X. I didn't.
Oh, Spira.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Yes. I haven't finished Final Fantasy X. I was like halfway. But because it came on the Nintendo Switch, I'm going to play it again. Thank you, Kung Fu Tea. I actually won a copy of the game from Kung Fu Tea. That little giveaway thing. But the game that I actually did finish was Final Fantasy X-2, where she has a totally different look. She looks like she comes out in a concert, but that was the imposter her. But she was in a concert dancing and singing.
Yep.
And she's wearing more revealing clothes and...
Oh, gasp. Wears like a half skirt thing with very short shorts around her belt and like some nice high heels, some nice thigh boots as well. Well, I'm sorry, knee high boots, I should say.
Yeah.
Got a very open shirt, but it's okay because it's got a little symbol in there.
It's hiding that cleavage somehow. I don't know.
Somehow. Now, my favorite thing about her is that in 2 years, she somehow grew her hair from her shoulders down to the ground and then decided to like cut it so it just could be a braid and still has her short hair. That's my favorite part about her new look.
I don't know. It must have been some kind of gift in some way.
Yeah, that's those summoner jeans, man.
And she was a lot more, she's not as conservative. She's more adventurous and wants to go explore the world, find these spears, dress spears. I think that's the one thing.
Dress spears.
People.
Pistols is her.
Yeah, the pistols. People hated this game for some reason, but I actually liked it because, I don't know, just the whole glamour effect with the dress spears.
So I have to confess, I've actually never finished a Final Fantasy game. I know. Please hold your tomatoes. But I'm very familiar with these games just because I kind of grew up with Final Fantasy X. It was just kind of, my brother played it a lot and I watched like all the videos of them and stuff like that. I was pretty familiar with the story. And X-2, I did try to play for a little bit. I honestly like didn't play these games much because the level up system really made me very anxious.
Grindy.
I was never leveling up characters. So like, I don't know if I picked the right thing. But like we had the guidebook for Final Fantasy X. Too.
Yes.
It had detailed pictures of all the
dresses.
Oh my gosh, I would just spend hours just looking through
yes.
them. I just love looking at all the designs, you know? And just all their different like forms for each character and their personalities. And it's just, I don't know, it's just the only thing that to me that's kind of hard with Yuna is that a lot of her motivation ends up being about Titus, especially in 10-2,
yes.
unfortunately. And it's kind of annoying in 10-2 because it's all about Titus. And it turns out, spoiler alert, like it's not Titus. And then it is. It's just weird. And so, but I've always really, I don't know, I just, she's always been really cool to me. She definitely influenced a lot of like the kind of female characters that I like to write about. like that kind of shy summoner type I've always been really drawn to for some reason, even though it's not who I am. I just always liked your design. Just kind of, yeah, definitely that 2 years, whew, she had it hard.
Yeah, she did. our chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp is correcting Sarah on Titus pronunciation.
It's Titus. I'm sorry. I always heard Titus for some reason.
No, you're fine. Because as I said before, I played Tentu first, and I did pronounce it Titus first until I think the voice acting and stuff, they actually did say Titus.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was Titus, because I feel like I heard that, but I don't know. The voice acting in 10 was very okay, so.
10 was interesting.
Yeah.
Especially with Titus.
Okay. Also, but Riku is amazing too. I've always Ten really informed like the kind of characters I like, the character tropes I like. The shy summoner type. I always liked Riku, the very outgoing, spunky rogue type. I don't know. It's all cool stuff. Oran's very angsty.
Yeah, I can't wait to play it. So if you haven't played any of these games, go out and get it. It's available on the Switch and Xbox. It's on PS4 too. Yeah, they also did it on the PS4. I think that's the only, it's not on PC yet, is it? I don't think.
Not that I know of. But it's remastered, so the graphics remastered and stuff?
Yes. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Because I played, like I said, since it came out on the PS2 and PS3, no, PS3, right?
Okay.
And then
it was originally the PS2.
PS2. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then so when I played on the PS4, it's like all the pretty graphics and the Sanar Kid and
whatnot. Yeah, it would be worth it to replay just to see the updated graphics, I will say. Yeah.
So now that it's on portable, you can get it anytime.
Yes, it's true.
Anyway, I think I still have that guide. I want to go get it now and take a look at
just
it.
Just look through it, right? They're just so much fun to look at. Right. I don't know. I've never been a fashion designer, but I think one of my favorite parts about like looking at Final Fantasy games, really any of those like RPG, very high graphic intense like games, are just seeing their like fashion statements, because they make no sense, but I love them.
Just a Fox on the chat says 10 and 10-2 is on Steam. Good.
Okay, cool.
So you can pick it up and play it.
Good.
All right, I think that will take it to the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us today at Not Your Player 2 Podcast. Again, our regular live stream and recording is every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Remember to join us for the discussion like Carletta, Lady TC, Omega Waltall, Jessa Fox, Lloyd, of course he's always here, the Pelican, the Real Hot Chili Pepper, thank you so much for joining us. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast. Leave us a review and we'll definitely read it on the show, like Omega Waltall. Thank you so much again. Checkpoint XP is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our national syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as other podcasts such as the Checkpoint Daily Show, Checkpoint On Demand, and Low Team Damage, our anything and everything podcast about Overwatch and the Overwatch League. Thank you again so much for joining us here at Not Your Player 2, and we are signing off here.
Bye-bye!